Willkommen bei Marketer Talk, dem Podcast der Marketingbörse. Hier erwarten euch spannende Gesprächsrunden und Interviews mit Experten aus der Marketingszene.
We're here in London at the Customer Service Conference Signal, and in front of me I have Alistair Stewart. He's Director National Services at HUK. Hi, Alistair.
Great to be here. Thank you.
And it's great to have you here. And of course, I'm very curious about what is HUK doing exactly for our German listeners.
So HUK is the UK's leading charity that supports older people. So our vision and mission is to make sure that we change how we age, both locally, nationally and internationally. Our work in the UK is both national and local, and we support older people to access the welfare benefits that they're entitled to, and to age well and healthily by eating well, by physical activity, lunch clubs, dance classes in local communities, and also services that work to prevent loneliness. So connecting up older people with volunteers to build friendships, particularly where people are housebound, maybe have health or mobility issues that means they can't get out. And therefore they're looking for a friendly conversation.
And this is a government-funded project, or is it without any funding? How does that work here in the UK?
Well, we would certainly love some government funding, but sadly, the vast majority of our work is funded by generous individuals, corporates, trusts, and foundations. So we get a tiny, tiny bit of government funding for very specific pieces of work. But otherwise, we have to be raising our own money to be delivering the services that support older people all across the UK.
That's quite different to Germany, where a lot of things are government funded and fundraising is not working as well as in US or in UK, as I learn now.
It's a very difficult time from a fundraising perspective. Obviously there's lots of cost of living challenges. So people and companies and other organizations don't have as much money as they used to. So it's certainly a very difficult moment for lots of charities and nonprofits in the UK. But we all work incredibly hard to keep our costs down, to raise money where we can, so that we can continue to support our different beneficiaries.
Let me be curious about fundraising. What initiatives, what are the things you are doing in the sense of fundraising? Because you said you have individuals, wealthy individuals, you have corporates. What do you offer? What is the reason why they say, okay, we want to, and what is the kind of funding they have?
So we're fortunate in HUK, we've got a very diversified set of income streams and funding streams. So one way that we raise money is through retail charity shops. So we've got 240 charity shops all around the UK, where people can either donate goods to us that we can then sell and raise money, or they can buy goods from us to raise money to support our organization. We also have marketing to individuals. So we encourage individuals either to make a one-off donation by text message, for example, or by going online. What we really love are regular donations. So individuals who might sign up even £10 a month, giving us that predictable income month on month. And then, of course, there's a number of very generous individuals who choose to donate a lot more, or potentially leaving us a legacy or gift in their will. So we're really very fortunate that a huge amount of our money every year comes from very generous individuals. We then work with different corporates who often fund us to run specific programs. So we work with organizations like Rothsay and energy companies who fund welfare benefits support for older people, particularly around winter. And then a number of other trusts and foundations who may give £2,000 or may give £1 million and over a number of years or for 1 year. So we've got a really diverse range of different income streams, which really helps us. And the final way that we raise funds, a bit unusually in the UK, but we've got a social enterprise. We've got a commercial arm called AgeCo that sells insurance products that are designed for older people. So travel insurance, for example, without an upper age limit. There's often an age limit on travel insurance policy, so it can be quite difficult for older people to get the travel insurance to travel abroad. So we sell products designed for older people. They are commercial products. And if that social enterprise makes a profit every year, they will then donate some money to the charity. So we try
but the,
to...
The products are not your products, but the products of the partner companies.
Yes, so we work with a number of trusted partners on products and services that are designed for older people. And we work with them to make sure that they're appropriate for older people. And they're then sold at a commercial rate. So it's not discounted. It is a commercial product, but designed specifically to meet the needs
right.
of older people.
Okay, very good idea. And it's good for the marketing of the companies also. So it's a might be a very good cooperation. And you are now in the UK, but the organization is working worldwide, or?
Yes, so we've got a charity subsidiary, Age International, that works in around 30 developing countries all around the world, both disaster relief, where there's a tsunami or other weather and climate events, war and other issues like that. So we're in some countries there. But working internationally to support older people. And we're often the only international charity specifically focused on older people in some of these crises around the world. So that's a rarely spoken about part of our work. And we're also working within organizations like the UN on a sort of charter for older people so that older people's rights are respected all around the world.
I see. Okay. And a lot of private people are working with you. So you have volunteers working, a lot of volunteers. What are what is the work the volunteers are taking over?
So we're very generously supported by more than 20,000 volunteers every year. And there's a huge range of different roles that those volunteers can do. So they might be volunteering just 30 minutes every week, volunteering to phone an older person that we match them up with. So using Twilio's technology, we can match up volunteers to call a lonely older person who's come to us and said they would like some weekly friendship calls. And then they build a great friendship that might last several years. So, that's just 30 minutes a week. There's other...
Just a technical question. How does that work? I mean, I have my telephone at home and I have my private number at home. And how does that work? Is it connect to my telephone, to my computer, to my mobile or what?
So that's the beauty of the technology that we've built using Twilio. Yeah. All the volunteer needs is a telephone. So they sign up on our website. They agree to volunteer with us. They tell us when they're available, what their interests are. So maybe they're interested in classical music and they play tennis. And then we've spoken to lots of older people. We find out what their interests are. And we might have Jim, the volunteer, and Jean, the older person, who also told us that she's interested in classical music and tennis. We match them together. So Jim gets a phone number from us. He dials into us. We use the Twilio technology to connect them up with the older person. The older person's phone rings. Neither the volunteer nor the older person knows each other's phone number. So it's all done securely using Twilio's technology. The calls are then recorded so we can pick up any issues.
I want to phone. I mean, it's a person I can trust, but I don't know his telephone number, but I can phone him. I can say, I want to phone you. Of course, I don't know the number, but I can. And this works on an app?
No, it's any mobile phone or a landline. So all you need is a mobile phone. So it's a very simple telephone call. Nothing more complicated than that for our volunteers.
So I have a telephone number on my phone.
Yeah, which called us. It's called us at Age UK, and that automatically connects you to the older person that we've matched you with.
Yeah, but there is no time delay or something like that. But it's, and vice versa, the old person calls me.
No, so it's a one-way. So the volunteer, it's always initiated by the volunteer.
Ah, okay.
But the volunteer...
Yeah, otherwise, it might be too difficult.
It could be too much. And we don't want dependency to build on either side. So it was really important when we've spoken to volunteers and older people that they really like the model where the volunteer can call the older person. There's no risk of that older person calling the volunteer any time of the day or night. But we encourage the friendship to grow. And they might start by calling 20 minutes a week, Some of our volunteers and older people speak for 90 minutes every week. So it's entirely up to them how long they speak for.
Right.
We encourage the volunteers to call on the older person's birthday and around Christmas and other special dates that might be particularly meaningful for the older person. Over time, they forget that Age UK has facilitated
of course,
becomes a normal friendship.
How many people do I have? I'm very active and I do have time because I'm now 6 years old. So things are changing in my life and I want to volunteer. Do I have one person I have contact with or maybe even two or three?
So most of our volunteers just have one telephone friend. But yes, they can have as many telephone friends as they want. So some of our volunteers do absolutely have two or three older people that they call. We really love it when volunteers are so generous with their time that way, because we hear all the time from older people how important and meaningful these calls are. I think it's really hard to underestimate just how powerful a telephone call is.
Absolutely. It's so important. And do you take people from Germany? I mean, can you connect me?
So we don't take international volunteers for the Friendship Service, unfortunately. Oh. But there is a service in Germany called the Silver Line, but in German. I don't know what the interpretation is of the Silver Line in German.
Okay.
But it is a module where older people can call into a telephone number staffed by volunteers and have a friendly chat.
No. Your system is better. Your system is better. I don't want to be called. I don't have this time, but I want to build up a friendship with people. Okay, great idea. And now I'm talking to this person, and my interest is being. I added it on a website on an app that I'm interested in these subjects, and then you have the call. You could record the call. I mean, without. Data protection without any objects, but you can use it, the content of the call, you could use it to improve things, to whatever. Do you do this? Is this possible from the law?
Yes. So everyone who signs up to the service, volunteers and older people, agree that the calls will be recorded.
Okay.
Most of the time, that call recording sits there. We never have to reference it, but we do transcribe a number of our telephone calls. And we use those transcripts to identify where there might be issues of concern, either on the volunteer or older person side. So what we ask is, if on a telephone call an older person raises concerns about a lack of money or a lack of food, or concerns about perhaps some abuse from a carer or a neighbour or a family member, we would ask the volunteer to come and contact us and raise those concerns with us so we can then investigate and work at what support the older person might need. Sometimes things in conversations get forgotten about, they're not picked up. So using these transcripts, we've got a system that analyzes the calls and then flags what we deem to be a risky call to a member of staff to review. In every circumstance we've looked at, there hasn't been any concerns. There's never been any real serious issues. But we do pick up instances where an older person has perhaps said they don't have any food in the fridge. And we can then contact that older person, find out if they need any support, connect them up with a food bank for an emergency food supply or the local authority. But also then look at, are they getting all of the welfare benefits they're entitled to? Are they getting all the government support that they should be? And in many cases, we can then go on to find thousands of pounds a year that an older person is entitled to, didn't know they were entitled to, and we can help them claim that support from the government. So it's a really great system. It's all enabled by Twilio's technology, and their programmable voice API is very powerful. And we've used it, I think, for a very unique but powerful purpose to support our beneficiaries.
So now we are probably into the subject AI. This system, since when do you have this recording? You can do this by keywords which occur, or you can do it with generative AI. How is the development, and how is your plans in integrating AI to analyze these transcripts?
So there's no generative AI being used. There is obviously transcription, which is AI models to help with transcribing the audio to text. We don't have a very complicated AI model doing the risk analysis. I think in the future, that's absolutely something we would look to do. And even in the 2 to 3 years that we've been using this transcription and analyzing it, we've seen a huge improvement in the quality of the transcription. So being able to take, you know, audio from a volunteer and an older person with different accents, sometimes with poor quality telephone calls, and the ability to get a really accurate and reliable transcript, we've seen huge improvements in the last 2 to 3 years, which should then enable, you know, to use more fancy AI and other tools in the future to really improve not just our ability to safeguard and identify concerns, but as you said, to look at what are the really positive conversations that volunteers and older people are having? What are the conversations that people really enjoy? And we can then feed that into our training of volunteers and to tell them, well, if you're stuck for a conversation, here are some great topics that we know on average people respond really positively to. And here are some issues and topics maybe not to talk about because they're not such great conversations.
I'm coming back to something different. Using AI, do you have an app? Or do I have an app? Before I call the person, how do I make, okay, I can make notes on paper, but do you have an app which gives me some suggestions for questions, personal questions, where so you could come back to this or that because I already forgot it was 3 months ago and the AI remembers this, put it into the context and gives me some ideas what to talk about. And both of us, the older person and me, we would be very happy about the questions. Like I have the question for this interview prepared, some of them. I never asked them, but anyway. Do you plant something?
So we don't have an app, but we do have an electronic document, a PDF, a handbook for our volunteers that tells them all about the service. It gives them tips for their first telephone call because that's often the most difficult. You know, having that first conversation, getting to know someone new when you're at the end of a telephone and you really only know each other's names and some common interests. So having that first conversation, we do have some tips and advice about future calls and conversations. But I think the beauty of the service is people who enjoy having conversations and talking, they don't need advice from us. Once you've had that first conversation, you're building a friendship. You're exchanging tips and tricks. So, you know, many of our older people love sharing their recipes on their food and all their experiences with the volunteers. And so it becomes a real two-way exchange. Building on the common interests that we've matched them on. But of course, both the volunteer and older person have many other interests. And so they can share those interests with each other. So we do have that handbook. We do have a quarterly newsletter for our volunteers where we give them tips and advice as well. But we generally find after that first conversation, people just keep talking and it's wonderful to hear.
Absolutely, absolutely. On the other hand, you might have a capacity problem because you always need two people who have time. So it might be an added service if you have something where I can call as an older person and there is a computer on the other side. That means something like Siri, ChatGPT, whatever, which talks to me. And I know it's a computer, but I will love to talk to it. Do you plan anything in this direction?
So we definitely don't plan to have an AI that an older person could call because we already have a great service that meets those needs. So we also run a service called the Silverline Helpline here in the UK, which the German one was modeled on. That's a 24/7 helpline. It uses the Twilio Flex contact center product. And that is where, again, it's staffed by staff and volunteers. It's 24/7. And if an older person is lonely day or night, they can call in. They can have a conversation for about 15 minutes. Many of the older people tell us, you know, it's 3 a.m. in the morning. They are maybe recently bereaved. They don't have their husband or wife to speak to anymore. But we're at the end of a phone there. So they can call us at 3 a.m. They can have a conversation. They can then get back to sleep. And equally, there's other people that they just call us first thing in the morning because they want to have a conversation with someone. They might not have another conversation with anyone all day. So we're very fortunate that we have volunteers supporting that service as well, enabling us to provide that 24/7 helpline so that whenever an older person is lonely, they can call for a meaningful conversation anytime.
And this is 100% personal, 100% persons?
Yes,
and no,
all volunteers and staff. No AI bot at all, a real human voice on the end of a phone.
Yeah, you're telling me this very convinced, and I'm seeing from your face that you... It's your unique thing that you have persons. But however, do you think that older people might start to love talking to computers?
So we definitely...
It's a very difficult question, I know, because it's right now, no, but people get used to things.
So I think whenever we speak to older people and ask them what they value, certainly for the services that we offer, they really value that meaningful two-way conversation. They want that genuine connection with another human being. But that's not to say that older people aren't using technology. We also hear from older people that they are using Alexa, they're using Siri. They may be using it to set reminders about when to take their medication. Some of them will be using FaceTime to call relatives on the other side of the world. So older people are certainly embracing technology, but I'm not sure that a Siri or an Alexa or a Cohere will ever replace, you know, that meaningful two-way conversation, because people value that human-to-human connection. It's why the telephone is such a powerful tool.
That could be a wonderful end of our conversation and of our interview, what you just said, that you are remain personal and this is the most important thing. But still, I have to ask one last question. What are the applications of AI which you plan? I mean, you have a kind of chatbot probably and started to experience that. Are there any plans to integrate AI to make things easier?
So we've had a chatbot for a number of years on our website, which helps people access the information that they're looking for. We've absolutely been experimenting with AI. From our tests, we don't think that AI is ready for a sort of public-facing only, so direct individual to an AI bot. You know, AI is great, but in our testing, it only gives the right answer 9 in 10 times at the moment. And when we're dealing with complicated welfare benefits or about care packages in the health system, we need it to be much more accurate. Where we think the real value is in augmenting our staff to have that human in the loop and making their roles more efficient, making their roles more effective. So the transcription tool that I talked about, you know, flagging those risky calls that a member of staff can then review and pick up any concerns. We also use it and we've been testing summarizing some of the calls from older people when they're calling us for help, so that we can get a nice written summary of that call, save some time for our advisor having to write up some notes, and also the ability to have a transcript that we can perhaps use to mine for greater insight in the future. So we certainly think there's lots of great potential applications for AI, but certainly at the moment, we're very focused on how can AI support our volunteers and staff to deliver a better service and more impact for the older people that we help.
Alistair, thank you very much for this inspiring information you gave me. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Das war's auch schon mit der heutigen Episode. Wir hoffen natürlich, dass sie euch gefallen hat und würden uns sehr gerne über eine Bewertung freuen. Wenn ihr keine Folgen verpassen wollt, abonniert gerne den Marketer Talk der Marketingbörse. In diesem Sinne, vielen Dank fürs Zuhören und bis zum nächsten Mal.